Considering the implications of Alice Miller on a societal level, I think we need to talk about broken hearts and betrayal. Power consciously attempts to ensnare us in a web of obligation, but could this work so successfully if unconsciously we weren't despairing? We simply don't know what else to do. If betrayal is the common truth class teaches, how do we believe in the possibility of human solidarity? I listened to an excerpt this week from a film called The Trials of Muhammad Ali. And in this excerpt, his trainer, Captain Sam, said that Ali's promoters told him to either break with the Nation of Islam or forfeit his chance to be heavyweight champion. Quote, Muhammad had been training to be heavyweight champion all his life. So hearing this scared him to death. So I told him, oh man, don't believe that. Money is the white man's God. Hold to your belief. Unquote. I think the goal of power is to make that our God across all races, because if so, we are easily controlled. And I'm also this week very much appreciating Red Ink, but there are points, I think, when his Marxist training may have led him astray. It's early days yet, and it may change my sense of this, but at one point, Robert Chafer says, as if he's missing the point of power, that Mao's weakness stemmed from his obsession with the personal, not the political, unquote. And to illustrate this, he notes that Mao's list of the 10 great crises that tested the party didn't include external threats or the 20 to 30 millions dead from Great Leap caused famine, but rather focused, Mao did, on splits in the unity of the master class, as Plato told him to, and probably Confucius, too. This lack of clarity as to power's motives matters, I think, because if we can come to see that power is not about governance, except in Bentham's sense of the word, but certainly not in our sense of creating societal conditions that allow every single one to develop ourselves, heal the planet, and ever expand the health and possibilities of the species, but is instead about rule, keeping the people under control, and willing to create the quote-unquote surplus that allows power's egos to continuously inflate in direct proportion as ours shrink. If we can stop taking power at its word, see what they do, and clearly get that they absolutely don't care about us, they are, after all, very damaged. We can, I think, begin, once this truth sinks in, to set ourselves for this challenge. Very early on China, Kissinger tells us this, quote, almost all empires were created by force, but none can be sustained by it. Universal rule, to last, needs to translate force into obligation. Otherwise, the energies of the rulers would be exhausted in maintaining their dominance at the expense of their ability to shape the future, which is the ultimate task of statesmanship. Empires persist if repression gives way to consensus. Empires persist if repression gives way to consensus. Now, this is the single thought of power across the globe. It's Bentham's thought, his advance of Plato, which power will continuously teach its children and auxiliaries till our thought overtakes it. And consensus, operationally, Bentham said, means all believe without exception. And how is this consensus achieved? How are we made to feel obligated? By confusing it in our minds with love. This is the unpaid, death-embracing work we do for the state. We teach our children that to be good means loss of freedom.